Thank you very much. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer as we're thinking about that prayerful song of America. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we look to you now. We need you in this hour in our country. Lord, we've always needed you, and unfortunately we failed to realize our dependency upon you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray that you would reach down from heaven and work in a great way in America. Lord, we certainly do not deserve it, but we need your mercy. We need your grace if we're to survive and go forward in any way, shape, or form. Lord, I still believe that you are able to work and to move in a mighty way. I know I may be in the minority in that opinion, but I believe that all throughout Scripture, even when there was one or two or three or a dozen, that you could work and move in a mighty, mighty way. And Lord, we just ask you to work and to move in this country. Lord, do that work in your people so that you can do a work through your people in this country. And Lord, let us see a great move of God sweep from coast to coast here in America. And Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice to purchase, to protect, to provide our freedoms that we enjoy. And yet with our freedoms, we are squandering them, and we're seeing them limited and taken away from us right under our noses. We're giving them up freely day by day. And we just ask that you would turn our country back to you, Lord. And I pray that you would do that deep work in us, your church, your people, so that you could do that great work through us. Help us as we look into your word. Guide us into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to mention this. I'm going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So if you want to turn to the Gospel of John, I'm going to go into several different scriptures. Before we start reading those scriptures, let me take just a minute. On the table in the foyer is a monthly periodical that a Christian friend of ours that lives in Kingsport, Brother Ted Neves, puts this together every month. It's called Christian News and Comments. It fills you in on some of the things that are happening from a biblical perspective. And 20-some pages front and back that's filled with headlines and things, information that you can use. There's some copies available on the table in the foyer. And Miss Wanda Wright was so kind to bring us this one today as well. So that's something that we'll be having available. He puts this out each month, Christian News and Comments by Brother Ted Neves. So in the Gospel of John, and that song that was sung, God Bless America, guide us through the light from above. In the Gospel of John, that word light appears several different times, scattered throughout the first 12 chapters in particularly. And we see the importance of the light of Jesus Christ, the light who is Jesus Christ. And so we want to point that out as we go through the Gospel of John in a few different scriptures. And it was several years ago as a kid, we were hiking around Gatlinburg, the Smoky Mountain area, and there's all kinds of hiking trails in that part of the country. And we were trying to find one particular waterfall, and we had heard that it's beautiful and everything else, and it was going to be a short hike. So, you know, we just went for it. You know, that's a typical Davis style, I guess. You know, just go for it and, you know, go forward, you know, pedal to the metal all the way. I don't think we took any water with us. If we did, it was minimal, no snacks, nothing like that. Because we thought, you know, it's just a short little, you know, two-hour hike maybe at the most, and we'll be back and everything else. And we kept going, and we kept going, and we never saw that waterfall, and we just kept trying to push and get closer and closer and closer. We knew we were on the right trail, but we just kept going. And we didn't start out till in the afternoon hours. And so the longer we go, it's getting closer and closer and closer to dark. And, you know, Dad's trying to coach us up along the way. You know, if you ever get lost in the woods and those kinds of things, you know, follow the way the water is running. If it's running downhill, it'll eventually lead you into somebody's yard or to some kind of town or something like that. So just follow the flow of the water. Stay close to the creek and follow that flow as much as you can. And so we were listening to that advice, going and going. And then sure enough, before we get back to the car and back where we need to be, it starts getting dark on us. And it's getting darker and darker. You know, it's summertime, so it's darker later in the day than usual. So the sun's gradually going down, and we're able to find our way, but we know we've got to get out of these woods. We didn't have any flashlights with us or any of that kind of stuff. We thought we were going on a short little hike, but we never did find that waterfall. And we know, you know, we're going to get lost in the woods and the Smoky Mountains, and there's bears in them there hills, as they say, you know. And so we were worried about the bears, worried about what's going to come out of the bushes after dark, and what's going to be after us. So here we are coming out, and I just sort of follow the trail that I sort of knew and could barely see by the moonlight and different things. I found my way back out to the parking area, and I was a teenager by this point. I wasn't like a six-year-old kid just running through the woods by myself, by the way. And so I was an older teenager and found my way to the parking area. There was a married couple that were probably at that time in their 20s, I would say, and they came out ahead of us. They were moving a lot quicker than we were, and they came out ahead of us, and I came down to the parking area, and he saw me come out, and he said, "Where's the rest of your family?" I said, they're finding their way out. They're coming. And so he had a big lantern flashlight with him in his car. And so he grabbed that out and went up into the woods and was able to help everybody else come back down safely and find the right trail and come back down to the parking area where we were. And so it was so very helpful for him to have that big light, that bright light to shine the way on the pathway to lead us out of the dark woods. And I want to apply that spiritually to where we are today. You know, we're in a world of darkness. We're in a nation of darkness. I know that's the understatement of the century. And you don't have to look very far to see the darkness around us. And people are really lost in this darkness. They're searching. They're bumbling through the woods in a dark night, trying to find their way, trying to find their identity, their purpose, their meaning in life. Who am I? Do I have any purpose? Do I have any meaning? And we're wrestling with these serious questions of identity and what does it mean to be a person? What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? All these things are being questioned, and people are lost in the woods. They can't find the trail. They can't find the way out. And they're searching and searching and searching for somebody to help them, somebody to guide them. Thank God that He provided that man for our family, with the light to shine the way to the path so that we could find our way to safety and to freedom out of the darkness of the Smoky Mountains, lost on that trail at nighttime. He lit the way for us to follow. And Jesus is that light that has come into this dark world. And we need to see Him who is the light, Him who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life, and to follow after Him. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 4, it says it this way: "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You know, wherever light is, darkness has to flee. Even if it's a small flashlight, darkness is just the absence of light. That's all that darkness is, the absence of light. Darkness cannot overtake light. Light always overtakes darkness. And Jesus is that light that is shining into this dark world. And we are carrying His light as His witnesses in this generation that we live in. And we can shine that light to other people in this darkness around us. You may say, "Well, wait a second. You know, you don't know where I work, how dark it is. You don't know the school I go to, how dark it is. You don't know the neighborhood that I live in, how dark it is, and people are getting arrested all the time and drug deals going down and everything else. You don't know how dark it is in these places around us." As Christians, we can shine the light of Jesus Christ into that darkness. We can be like that man was for our family, who shone that light, who pointed us to the path and said, "Follow me. I want to show you there is a better way. There is a way out of these dark woods. There is a way beyond this fear." You know, when you're lost in the woods, there's a fear that comes in, isn't there? There's an uncertainty. What's in the shadows? What's behind those bushes? Everything in the daytime was joyful and happy, and we were enjoying the trail. We were looking at all the trees and the bushes and the sights and the sounds and the running water and all the rest, trying to find that beautiful waterfall that we never found. And yet, when the darkness came in, things totally changed. It was no longer joyful. It was no longer happy. It was no longer vibrant and beautiful, and it became a scary, fearful place to be. We were in the same place, but what happened? The darkness had come, and the light was gone. And when the light was removed from the sunlight, from the daylight, that darkness came in, and it changed the whole dynamic of that hike, of that walk. And I think that our nation is in that increasing darkness, that sunset, if you will, and the darkness is the light is dissipating, the light is going away little by little. And we as Christians are that beacon of hope. I know that we're in the minority as Bible-believing Christians. And Pastor Brad shares these statistics often. It's gone down to about 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview. It means 96% of Americans don't live according to what thus saith the Lord in His Word. We are in the minority, but we have the truth. We have the light. You know, with our family and other cars that were parked in that parking lot, that one man had the light, but he came to help us and to show us there's a way out. There's a way to safety, and he came willing to help us. He didn't just sit back in his car with his flashlight hanging and say, well, I hope that they can find the way. No, he came looking. He came searching. And Jesus did the exact same thing. He came with His light, searching for us, calling us to come to Himself. And we who have received that light can have that same emphasis of searching for others who are trying to find the way and point them to Jesus Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In verse 6 it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, through Jesus, might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You see, we have that same role as John the Baptist in our day, to step into this darkness and to shine the light, the true light, who is Jesus Christ. You know, Camp Andrew and Brother Roy, that's their goal. That's what they're striving to do. Shine the light of Jesus through this camp, through this ministry, so that the world may see. Our preschool is doing that into the lives of these kids, and many other ministries of our church, trying to shine the light of Jesus Christ into this darkness so that we can see it transformed and see the light of Jesus Christ break forth. Jesus said the same thing going over into John chapter number 3. Some of the most popular verses in all of the Bible, and perhaps the most popular verse, is John 3:16. And we read it here. But I want to go on down to verse number 19, because we don't talk a lot about the fact of the light that is shining through this passage as well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, one of the famous preachers from the past, I believe it was D.L. Moody, left for an extended period of time, and the church that he was pastoring at the time, he was a little bit concerned about the preachers that would be filling in for him. Would the church drop off while he's going to be gone for months on end? And when he got back, the church was vibrant and full of life and a lot of new faces that he had never seen before. And he asked his wife, who had stayed behind, well, what did he preach? She said, John 3:16. He said, well, he had to preach more than that. He said, no, he just every Sunday kept preaching John 3:16, taking a different look at John 3:16, exploring the love of God. You can never exhaust the truth of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel message in a nutshell. Jesus loves you, and He gave His life for you, that you don't have to perish. You don't have to be lost in the darkness, but you can have everlasting life. You can live in the light. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, made clear, that they are wrought in God. You see, people like to hide in the darkness. They like to hide in the woods. They like to hide behind the bushes, as it were. Why? Because they love the darkness that they are in. They don't want it to be exposed to the light. It's like cockroaches. You turn on the light and they go scattering. And hopefully you haven't had that experience at your house and your kitchen in a very long time, and I hope that you don't. But, you know, we've seen that on TV, I'm sure. You come into a dark room, they flip on the lights, and all these bugs and cockroaches and everything else go scattering. I was doing some work in the backyard a couple weeks ago and was moving some stuff that had been sitting there for months and lifting up some tarps and some other stuff that needed to be moved. And what do you see? You get some earthworms and those little roly-polies or whatever you call those little bugs. And, you know, all these things, they just start scattering everywhere, going back down into the ground, anywhere they can to get back into the darkness. And spiritually, our nation is there. People don't want to hear the truth because they love the darkness. That's a hard place to come to. But we'll never be right with God. We'll never be saved. We'll never find salvation if we stay in the darkness that we are in. We need to come to the light. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, this righteous man, I think if anybody could have earned salvation in the Scriptures, Nicodemus would have been one of the candidates. He lived by the letter of the law. He was rich. He was successful. He was well-liked. He was popular. He had it all going for him. But Jesus tells him, you have to be born again. You're living in darkness, Nicodemus. You need to come to the light. And if you want to follow the truth, you will come to the light. Unfortunately, in our generation today, people just don't want to live by the truth. They want to live by a lie that they have told themselves, a lie that they have believed and that they have wanted to be true, so they believe it and they accept it as their truth. But we don't live in a world like that. I can't make up morality any way that I want it to be made up. And I know I've shared multiple examples of this over the years and over the recent months and weeks with you all. But you want to see this in practice? Just go out here, get in your car after church, and when you're driving home, just decide for yourself what these stoplights mean, what those red stop signs will mean. You define truth for yourself in traffic and see how well you do. You know, to you, that red ball up there may mean stop, but to me that means go as fast as you can. You've got your truth, I've got my truth. You live your truth, I'll live my truth. We'll all be happy, we'll all get along together. You know, if everybody started defining the traffic rules and laws any way they wanted to, none of us would get back in a car, hardly ever. And we'd be too afraid to get out on the streets because people would just be doing whatever they wanted to do, anywhere they wanted to, being selfish and self-centered and get out of my way, I'm coming through, I've got the right of way, it's my turn always. You know, we would be living by our own rules, but we don't live in a world like that. We cannot make up our truth. We can't determine what 2 + 2 equals for ourselves. That would be total chaos if I said it was 5 and Amanda said it was 6 and somebody else said it was 25 and you know, imagine a tape measure. How could you even make a tape measure to measure anything and to say, this is a 2x4? No, it's not. You know, you've got your definition of 2x4. I've got my definition of 2x4. Imagine what this building would look like if somebody approached it in that way. Well, one builder came in with his 2x4. The other builder came in with his 2x4. And he had his definition of 5 inches long, and they had their definition of 25 inches long. You know, it'd be total absolute chaos if we lived in a world like that. That's why we don't want to come to the light. And there's so many moral things. I know I'm talking about math and traffic, but think about morality and how people say up is down and down is up, and we don't know what a man is, we don't know what a woman is, we can't decide these things, we can't determine these things, we can't figure out these things. Everybody's got to decide for themselves. I looked it up a few months ago, and it was well over 100 different genders that you could claim to be. And I was like, how do they even come up with a list like this? This is crazy. And people love darkness rather than light, lest their deeds be reproved. They don't want to see the light. They don't want to see the truth. They don't want to see that there is a God that I'm accountable to. There's a God that I've got to stand before and I've got to face. That's why they reject the light. That's why America is turning away from the light, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus made it very clear to Nicodemus, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's really what it boils down to. If you want to continue in your sin, you're revealing your heart of hatred for the light. He neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But if you do the truth, if you want to be honest with yourself and honest before God, you've got to come to the light, that your deeds may be made manifest, made clear that they are wrought in God. As we go on into John chapter number 8, we see Jesus make a very well-known statement. He repeats it over in John chapter 9. And we'll look at both of these verses in John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is the light. He came as a beacon to point people the way out of this mess, the way to God, the way to peace, the way to joy, the way to eternal life is only found through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He is the light of this world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And from there, he launches into a back and forth. It's almost like a volleyball match or a tennis match. It's back and forth all throughout John chapter 8. The Pharisees, the religious crowd kept saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And Jesus kept revealing, the Scriptures testify about me, the Heavenly Father sent me. And it goes back and forth, back and forth. And it reaches a fever pitch, I believe, in John 8, around verse 56. Let's read a couple of these verses. Let's back up to verse 53. They ask him at the end of verse 53, whom makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are, Jesus? Abraham's dead. The prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are, Jesus? Verse 54 says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say he is your God. You say that you're following this God, but you aren't wanting to really follow him. That's what Jesus is telling them. Ye yet have not known him, but I know him. If I should say I know him not, I'll be a liar, like unto you. You know, Jesus doesn't mince words. You know, sometimes people portray Jesus as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He came to get along with everybody and so that we could all just coexist in one big happy family. I mean, he comes with very sharp words here, doesn't he? He said, if I tell you that I'm not from God, I'd be a liar like you. And I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. How hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. As he told them in verse 12, I'm the light of the world. Here he is again claiming to be the I am. As it is in Moses' day, in the book of Exodus, you can go back there and read it in Exodus chapter number 3 and see when Moses saw that bush that was on fire, but it wasn't burnt. I think it was green with leaves. I think that it was a bright green bush. You know, we got these two plants at the back of the auditorium. I think it looked like that, but it was on fire. Yet the leaves were still green. It was still looked like it was vibrant and healthy, but it was burning, yet it wasn't burning up. What was going on? What was happening there at that burning bush? And God called Moses to go set the people free, the people that were enslaved in their sins, there in Egypt, a picture of sin, a picture of judgment from God, enslaved in their sins. And God sent Moses to go back to them. And Moses said, who do I say sent me to them? How do I tell Pharaoh? What authority do I have to tell Pharaoh these things? And he said, Tell them the I Am has sent you. The I Am that I Am has sent you unto them. And that's what Moses went by, that name, that authority. And here we see Jesus claiming to be the I Am, claiming to be that one of the Old Testament. He's claiming to be that very God of the Old Testament that came as this light to show people the way, the truth, and the life. And the people understood it. They're at a crossroads. They can either turn to Him and believe on Him, or they can turn away from Him and reject Him. What did most of the crowd do? The latter, as we see in verse 59. They took up stones to cast at Him. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They rejected the light. They rejected the truth. They rejected the life. They rejected the way, so that they could stick to their religious comforts and the religion of their forefathers. Instead of coming to the truth, the Messiah, right there in front of them, they turned away from Him to stay in their comfort zone. We can be guilty of the same thing. And even as unbelievers, we want to stay in the darkness instead of coming to the light. Over in John chapter 9, just a couple verses later, in verse 5, Jesus repeats the same thing. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. There's a blind man that was blind since birth. Jesus healed him miraculously. And then another argument ensues in John chapter 9. Who is this Jesus? Who do you think this is? Who healed you? They argue with this man. And the man, his faith develops all throughout John chapter 9. He instantly received spiritual sight, physical vision, physical sight. But his spiritual vision, his spiritual sight develops slowly as you read through John chapter 9. He said, I don't know anything about this Jesus. I don't know who He is. And then as it goes on, and you can read it in John chapter 9, I encourage you to do that later. And he comes to this place, and down in verse 35, they cast Him out of the synagogue. They excommunicate Him from His community, in other words. Jesus goes to him. And that's a beautiful truth, is it not? In John 9:35, Jesus heard that they had cast Him out. And when He had found Him, He said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus went to him. And dear friends, before we received Jesus as our Savior, Jesus came to where we were. We couldn't go to where He is, but He came to us. He came calling unto you. And maybe you're here today and He's calling you to Himself. He's calling you to the light. I encourage you, respond as this man did. The crowd over in John chapter 8 responded with trying to kill Jesus, trying to silence Him, trying to get rid of Him any way they could. Here in John chapter 9, Jesus says, Do you believe on the Son of God? This formerly blind man answered and said, Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped Him. That's the response that the crowd should have had. And Jesus said, This crowd is blind. They're spiritually blind. They're spiritually in outer darkness, and they don't want to turn to Me who is the truth. As He says in chapter 9, verse 39, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind. Exactly what happened in chapter 8 and this crowd in chapter 9, as they continually rejected the truth, as they continually turned away from the light, they were increasing their role in the darkness. They were drifting further and further back into darkness. Now go on to chapter 12, and this is the last place we'll go. As we see the light that is Jesus Christ. In John 12, verse 35 and 36, and I wish I had the time to read this whole passage, but it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's well worth the time. Jesus says in verse 35, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knows not whither he goeth. That was us in the Smoky Mountains on that trail. We were walking in the darkness. We didn't know where to go. Where is the right path? Where is the trail that's going to lead us back to where we parked our car? How do we get out of these woods? How do we find our way? We were groping on that pathway in the darkness. And Jesus says that darkness will come upon you. He that walks in the darkness knows not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. There's an urgency here. There's a sense of desperation, a sense of this is the moment, this is the day, this is the time, this is the hour. Jesus' cross is getting closer and closer and closer. That's why he's speaking these things to his disciples and to those around him. As we drop down to verse 44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." You're going to stay in the darkness if you don't come to Christ. You're going to stay in your sin if you don't come to Christ. You can't find deliverance any other way than to come to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." In other words, there's a time, there's a space of time, there's an opportunity that we've got to grab hold of. Jesus could have come instantly as the judge and said, "You all have been walking in darkness, walking in darkness, walking in darkness, and I am come as the judge." But he didn't. He said, "I've come with light. I've come with hope. I've come with chance, with an opportunity to come to the light." And friends, we have a small window of time in which we can do business with God. If we turn back to that darkness, we're going to be turning away from the light, away from the truth. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." There is a judge. There's a judgment time coming. "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." In other words, you've heard these words. You've heard about the light. Now you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. How am I going to respond to the message of the light? Am I going to receive it or am I going to reject it? If I reject it, that judgment is against me. I stand condemned because I've heard the light, I've heard the truth, and yet I turned away from it. Jesus goes on to say in the next verse, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." And one day we're going to stand before the Father. We're going to stand before the judge. And that judgment day will come. As Hebrews said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're going to stand before the Lord and give an account. What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with the message of the light? Have you received it? Have you followed that light? Or have you rejected it? Have you turned away from the light and gone into darkness? You know, this Memorial Day weekend, we think about war and we think about the darkness of war. I read a story recently of a helicopter pilot in Vietnam who was on a top secret mission. He couldn't turn on any of his lights. He had to fly that helicopter in total darkness. He had about a 5-foot perimeter around him, a clearing in the bushes and the trees where he could land that successfully. He had nothing to go by except his instruments inside the cockpit. And he had somebody down on the ground. And the man said, "The only thing that I can light right now is my Zippo." And so he pulled out that Zippo lighter and lit that little light. And he said, "That's enough light for me to see to get down. Thank you very much." And he was able to land successfully and get the guys out of there with just that little bit of light. And we think about the darkness that is war. And we're in a spiritual battle right now. We're in a spiritual warfare. And there's darkness all around us. And Jesus experienced darkness while he was on the cross, battling for the future of all of us, battling to win this war. "In the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. Here in the life of Christ I stand." That's from a wonderful modern hymn called "In Christ Alone." And I praise God that He burst through that darkness to purchase salvation for you and for me and for whosoever would believe and respond to that light. On Easter Sunday, that resurrection morning, the light came out forever alive to give us the life that we need for all of eternity. As we think about the American heroes who have died to purchase and to protect and to provide the freedoms that we enjoy today, we think about our Lord Jesus Christ, who did the same for all of eternity. He gave His life so that we could have life and enjoy it with Him for all of eternity. So the question is, how will we respond to this message of the light? Will we believe it, receive it by faith? It's not of works. I'm not preaching that you have to earn it or that you have to be good enough. No, no, no. It's just simply receiving. It's like a beggar reaching out his hand to receive some bread that somebody gives him. It's like the blind man that we read about in John chapter 9. Did he grope around in the darkness saying, "Somebody take me to Jesus. I heard about Jesus. Maybe He can heal me." No. He was just sitting there. Jesus came and sought him, and Jesus found him and restored his sight instantly and immediately. And Jesus is searching for you, and He's calling you to come to His light. This is the chance. This is your opportunity. This is your moment. Seize that moment. Don't turn away from it. Don't reject that moment. As Christians who have responded to the light, have responded to the good news of Jesus, we have a responsibility to shine His light into this darkness. All that we may have is a Zippo lighter, and we say, "This little light of mine," you know, I'm not particularly fond of that particular song, but, you know, if you like it, you know, good for you. But anyways, you know, we got to shine our light into this darkness that we live in. I don't know where you work or where you live or the schools that you go to and all the different things. I know there's a lot of darkness. You get on Facebook or social media and you see a lot of darkness and people commenting and people posting things that are just filled with darkness and the darkness of this world and how it's creeped into even church-going Christian people. And we see that darkness all around us. Turn on the news for 2 minutes and you see the darkness and you see evidence of the darkness. We don't have to look hard to see the darkness. That's why we've got to shine the light of God's truth while we have an opportunity. You know, God has put us here at this place, at this time, for a reason. Just like it was said to Esther, for such a time as this. Esther was in a very dark place, in a very dark time for the nation of Israel. And God had placed her strategically in that place for such a time as this. Could it be that we in the minority are here for such a time as this, and that God is going to win some great spiritual victories in these last days because we are staying true to His Word, staying following after Jesus, and seeing a great move of His Holy Spirit in these days that we live? I firmly believe that God is going to do some mighty things before the rapture of the church. And I want to stay faithful to Him. I want to continue following the light, and I want to continue shining that light for others to see. Let's have a time of prayer, and Pastor Brad will come and close the service. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for You who are the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray for anyone who is here today that has not responded to the light. As this word has gone forth, I pray that they understand that all they have to do is simply receive that gift of the light of Jesus Christ by faith. I pray that even now they would call upon You, asking You to forgive them of their sins and to be their Savior through what You did on the cross, the shedding of Your blood, and through Your resurrection from the dead. We know that You are God. You claimed it and You proved it. And I pray that they would call upon You and make You the Savior of their life today. Lord, I pray for those of us who have made You as our Savior. We oftentimes get discouraged when we look at the darkness around us. God, let us keep our eyes on the light. That's how our family was able to get out of the woods. If we had looked at the darkness instead of following the light, we would still be lost in the Smoky Mountains to this very day. But because we followed the light and we followed that pathway that the light shone for our feet, we were able to walk to safety. And that's the only thing that we can do as Christians. God, help us not to get overwhelmed by the darkness around us. but instead help us to follow the light who is Jesus Christ. Help us to keep our eyes fixed upon the light and not upon the darkness. We glance at the darkness. We understand the darkness is all around us, but our eyes must be fixed upon the light. Lord, fix our eyes upon you today. Help us to recommit ourselves to following you, to following the light through this dark, wooded world that we live in. And let us, in turn, be a beacon, a lighthouse, a bright light shining for those who are lost all around us that need to see the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed for a moment, if you would, please. And Brother Josh has brought a tremendous message to us. I couldn't help but think of Proverbs, where he says, the wicked know not in what they stumble, in the dark. It's just like darkness. You see, you know how in the nighttime, when it's dark, you trip over something? And that's what's happening today. They're tripping over everything because they don't have the light. And don't you, as a believer, you've got light, don't you, as a believer, get so involved in the darkness that you're about to lose your focus on the light. Don't you do that. I'm fearful in my heart as I was sitting there listening. I thought, Lord, so many believers today, the darkness is pushing them, and they're about to stumble when they just need to focus on the light. Make your life true. Make it a life that is focused on Jesus. I'm going to clarify something. I've never been lost in the woods. I've been confused for two or three days, but I've never been lost. But I thought, you know, that's the excuse today. I'm not lost. I'm not stumbling in this. When we are, don't let it happen. You don't have to. You've got the light of God's Word, the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have Christ in your heart, please, today, this is the time, asking Jesus into your heart and life right now. And then as believers, absolutely 100% as believers, the darkness is there, and many times you stumble because you lose your focus on the light. Don't you do it. Focus on Christ. Focus on His Word. He is the light. God help us with that today. We're going to have a special time of prayer. I think that's the way. I wanted to sing a song, give you time to come up and gather in the altar here. We need a special prayer for our nation on this Memorial Day. I mean, we had soldier boys and girls by the hundreds of thousands, yea, by the millions, who've died so you can have this freedom and I can have it. We've had that many. And what I want us to do, here we are, we're the army of God, we're the people of God. We know that our Lord, I preached last Sunday out of Zechariah, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of all the armies of heaven, the Lord of all the angels of heaven, the Lord of all the stars of heaven, the Lord of all the armies everywhere. He's our captain, our Lord. Are we looking to Him? Are we surrendered to Him? I know one thing, I need to be the light. I need more light. And I want us to come today. We're going to close out here. While they sing a verse, we're going to gather here in the altar, those of you that will. And let's pray, Lord, let me be a greater light. Let me be a soldier. Let me be a soldier for Jesus in these days, this great light. Those that will join us, come right on and do that while they sing a verse for us here. Yes, help us.
Just as I am. Yeah.
pray then. Use your pew as an altar and let's recommit ourselves, refocus, realign ourselves with the Word of God and the Lord Jesus, that we can be that light. People are dying without Jesus, stumbling everywhere, can't even decide common sense things as what gender they are or who to marry, or they're in a pitiful situation. We got the truth as Jesus was the truth. Lord, help us. Father, as we come to you today in the name of Jesus through his precious blood, Father, on this Memorial Day weekend, that we are reminded of those hundreds and hundreds of thousands of men and women who've given their life that we in America could have this freedom. World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. We had the Revolutionary War to begin with to give us our independence. Then we had the war between the states. We had the War of 1812. We had all of these wars. And we're recognizing hundreds of thousands of those soldier boys and girls. We're recognizing also the sacrifice of many police officers and firemen and those that gave their life in order to sustain the life of others. And Father, we're remembering them today. But in this time, here we are, the true light of God. The light of the gospel shines in our hearts. Jesus lives in us. It's no accident that here we are on Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. When the church was formed, the Holy Spirit came to live in every believer. And the only stipulation for the Holy Spirit to come in was they believe the gospel. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The Holy Spirit has been here for over 2,000 years. He started the church, and the church is still here. The Holy Spirit hasn't gone home. He could have. If I'd been him, I'd have left a long time ago. But he's staying with the church. He's not left the church. He's not left the believers. He won't leave till he takes us and presents us to the Lord Jesus Christ. So on this Pentecost Sunday, on this Memorial Day, let us remember that we have the light of God himself, the Holy Spirit in us. Let us focus on the greatness of our God, the goodness of our God. Let us focus on the Word of God. Clean our hearts. Erase from us unbelief. Erase from us doubt. Erase from us darkness. We cast it off in the name of Jesus. And through his resurrection power, we cast away the darkness. We cast away the doubt. We cast away the fear. We cast it away in the name of Jesus and through his resurrection power. And we pray to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost on this Pentecost Sunday. It was also the day that Moses received the law from God. You gave it to him, showing that the law of God is perfect, and the Holy Spirit came to make that perfect law a part of our lives. You didn't forget us poor old sinners. You sent the Holy Ghost to make the perfect law of God part of us today and every believer. So, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, through the blood of Christ, through his resurrection power, through the power of the ascension and the position Jesus is as our advocate, we ask today to bind all the rulers of darkness, all the demons of hell that's attacking our church families, the demons in the darkness, the hierarchies of evil, the principalities, the powers that's in our nation, rebuke and bind them now. Bind them in our schools and our workplaces. And we pray, let us be the light as Jesus was the light. May the Holy Spirit shine through us. It's not our effort to be light, it's the Spirit of God being the light that is in us. And we ask you for that. We agree together as a church family today. Our nation needs you. We're desperate for you. The Holy Ghost is with us. He's still here. And He'll take us and present us to the Lord Jesus, the bridegroom, one day. But long as we have breath, as long as we have the opportunities we have today, let us focus on the light, on the Word, and may the light within us shine so brightly that others seek Jesus in us every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.